Beginning with verse 1, it says, "Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. And he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water, that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper." Blessed, or happy and to be envied, is the man that walks not in association with the sinners of this world. He's blessed if he refuses to be unequally yoked together with unbelievers. Look at 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse number 14. 2 Corinthians 6 chapter and verse number 14. The Bible says, "Be not unequally yoked together with unbelievers. For what fellowship hath righteousness with unrighteousness? And what communion hath light with darkness?" Blessed is the man who refuses to be unequally yoked together with those in the world and those of the world. And this yoke means to be bound or under the control of. You do not want to enter into any relationship with a lost person or a person of the world that will bind you and bring them under your control, or bring you rather under their control. Because if that be the case, then they will pull and draw you away and hinder you from serving the Lord as he would have you to do. It'll take you away from your walk with Jesus. So a man's blessed if he's not unequally yoked together, and if he refuses to have fellowship with the unclean. Look at 2 Corinthians 6 and 17 here. It says, "Wherefore come out from among them, and be ye separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you." You know what? The Bible, in Paul's epistles, he admonishes us not to even speak of the things that they do, let alone be a partaker, but don't even speak of those things. And so blessed is the man that refuses to have a relationship or be in fellowship with those that are unclean or with the reprobate of this world. And that's not talking about a physical cleansing. It's talking about a mental and carnal being given over to it. He refuses to welcome the ungodly and reprobate even into his home. Look at 2 John 3. 2 John, rather verse 10. The Bible says, "If there come any unto you and bring not this doctrine, receive him not unto your house, neither bid him Godspeed." Now, as pertaining to the religious world, false religion and false doctrine and false teaching, you're not to invite them into your home. You're not to welcome them. We want to have a Bible study with you. No, if you want to have a Bible study, you'll have a Bible study with me. We'll not do it in my home. We'll do it otherwise. But you're not welcome into the home. Because the family, listening on, children that are impressive, could be influenced by the false teachings and false doctrines of the false religions of this world, or even the ungodly and reprobate doctrines that are being promoted in our society today about the perverted lifestyles and the perversion of the individual. And so we need to protect and guard our young people by refusing to welcome these kind of people into our home or making them welcome. He's not to be a stumbling block to sinners. He is commanded not to be a stumbling block in Leviticus 19 and verse number 14. Leviticus 19 and verse number 14. The Bible says, "Thou shalt not curse the deaf, nor put a stumbling block before the blind, but shall fear thy God. I am the Lord." We're not to be put a stumbling block in anyone's way, and especially little children. The Bible says, and this little children, I'm persuaded, is talking about young converts. Don't put a stumbling block in their way and hinder them and their growth in the grace and knowledge of Jesus in the work. And so, blessed is the man who does not become a stumbling block to those around. He should not have idols in his life. Blessed if he doesn't have idols that become a stumbling block. Look at Ezekiel 14, 3 through 5. Ezekiel chapter 14. Begin with verse 3, says, "Son of man, these men have set up their idols in their heart." Now notice this. They set up their idols in their heart, not making graven images necessarily, but whatever that we're given over to with our heart in our life that hinders us or takes us away from our being totally devoted and dedicated to the Lord's work and putting him first, becomes an idol. And that's what this is having reference to. "Son of man, these men have set up their idols in their heart and put the stumbling block of their iniquity before their face. Should I be inquired at all by them? Therefore speak unto them and say unto them, Thus saith the Lord God, Every man of the house of Israel that setteth up his idols in his heart and putteth the stumbling block of his iniquity before his face and cometh to the prophet, I, the Lord, will answer him that cometh according to the multitude of his idols, that I may take the house of Israel in their own heart, because they are all estranged from me through their idols." Again, anything that becomes more important to you, anything that becomes so important to you that you're given over to it, it takes you away from being yielded and given over to the Lord, meditating on his word, studying his word, doing his work, putting him first, anything that is an idol. It's an idol in the heart. And that's exactly what he was confronting the children of Israel about and warning them. Not only does it take, as far as the physical idols are concerned, but more important, the idols that we let hinder us and draw us away from the Lord. Blessed is the man who will not do this. Blessed is the man who's yielded and given over to the Lord and let the Spirit lead him and be directed by the Word of God. He should not do anything that would hinder others. Look at Romans 14 and verse number 13. Romans chapter 14 and verse 13. "Let us not therefore judge one another anymore, but judge this rather, that no man put a stumbling block or an occasion to fall in his brother's way." We're not to do anything that would hinder or hurt a brother, would keep him from yielding his life to the Lord. Blessed is the man who will not do this. Blessed is the man whose heart is set on the Lord and doing his will in his life and putting aside all other things and that being the main thrust of his life. That doesn't mean you can't do other things or be involved in other things, but when they come so important to you that it takes you away and hinders you from serving the Lord, and the example you're setting is going to cause others to be hindered and taken away, then this is exactly what he's talking about. Blessed is the man who won't do that. Blessed is the man who seeks to do the will of God continually, first and foremost, every day, all day of every day of his life. And so, blessed is the man who will not put a stumbling block in the way of others. Blessed is a man that will not sit in the seat of scoffers. The scoffers doubts the wisdom of the Lord. Look at Psalm 73 and verse number 11. 73rd Psalm and verse 11. 73 and 11, the Bible says, "And they say, how doth God know? And is there knowledge in the Most High?" Listen, the scoffers doubt the wisdom of the Lord. They question him. They question continually. How do you say, well, we don't have any brethren. Wait a minute. I've had brethren come to me and make that kind of a statement, or make that kind of a question. Blessed is a man who will not doubt the wisdom of the Lord. Blessed is the man who will not scoff and doubt the second coming of Jesus Christ. Look at 2 Peter chapter 3, verses 3 and 4. 2 Peter chapter 3, verses 3 and 4. "Knowing this first, that there shall come in the last days scoffers walking after their own lusts, and saying, where is the promise of his coming? For since the fathers fell asleep, all things continue as they were from the beginning of creation." Listen, scoffers who question and who doubt the second coming of Christ, blessed are those who will not be that way or be involved in those kind of things. Scoffers mock the messages of the Lord. Look at 2 Chronicles 36 and verse number 16. 2 Chronicles 36 and verse number 16, the Bible says, "But they mocked the messengers of God and despised his words and misused his prophets until the wrath of the Lord arose against his people till there was no remedy." Listen, the blessed man is one who will not be involved in those who scoff and mock the messengers of the Lord. Who are his messengers? They're those angels he talked about in the seven churches of Asia. The pastor, those pastors, those that are faithful, those that are true, those that have proved themselves and set the example. There will be those who will scoff and mock and ridicule and make fun. But brother, listen, don't be one of those, because you're not going to be blessed of the Lord if you're caught up in that kind of thing. You will be if you abstain from it. Now, he delights in the word of God also. He delights that the scriptures have proceeded from the Lord. Matthew chapter 4 and verse number 4. "But he answered and said, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God." He didn't say every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of Matthew, Luke, Mark, Luke, John, Paul, or Peter, or any of the others. He said the word that proceeded out of the mouth of God. These 66 books are the word that proceeded out of the mouth of God, because God spoke through them. His word, not theirs. His word, not theirs. If it's their word, brother, it's no better than if you or I wrote something down. It's the word of God, and this confirms it. "Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God." Blessed is the man who delights in the scriptures that have proceeded from the Lord. He delights that the scriptures have proceeded from him. He delights that the scriptures testify concerning Jesus Christ. Look at John 5 and verse number 39. John chapter 5 and verse number 39. Search the scriptures, for in them you think you have eternal life. And what? They are they which testify of me. That's Jesus. When you get in the scripture, what you're going to learn is about Jesus. Because Jesus is in every verse, every chapter, every book, in the entire 66 books of the Bible. It is all presenting Jesus. And he who is blessed delights in the scripture, that they're testifying concerning Jesus Christ. He delights in searching the scriptures. Look at Acts 17 and verse number 11. And this is the manner in which one ought to search the scriptures. Acts 17. Verse number 11. These were more noble than those in Thessalonica, in that they received the word with all readiness of mind and searched the scriptures daily whether those things were so. Blessed is the man who will receive the word with all readiness of mind and then search the scriptures to see whether or not those things are so. Search the scriptures. Don't go to somebody and ask what they think. Don't get someone to, don't decide with the group deciding what that it's presenting, but go to the scripture. Search, study, and analyze. Do it earnestly and consistently, and listen to what it says. Listen to what it says. It says here that there were some that were more noble who received the word with readiness of mind and searched the scriptures daily. The first psalm over there, it says, blessed is the man who does that and meditates on the word of God. So don't just stop with searching the scripture and analyzing and doing all of those things, but meditate on the word of God. Think about it. Mull it over. Compare scripture with scripture. So you get a greater understanding. And as one meditates on the word of God, the Holy Spirit will enlighten and give him a greater understanding. And I'll tell you what, when you run across something that doesn't make sense or you don't understand in the scripture, just keep on studying and keep on searching and keep on looking, and finally you'll run onto that verse of scripture that makes sense. Now I understand. Now I see. How many times have I changed my mind on what the Bible teaches over the years in that same circumstance? Think about it. Then going back and studying and listening to what it says and confirming either right or wrong. And there's one thing about it. The scripture's always right. You and I are ones that are wrong. Without fail. Blessed is the man that has a life of fruit bearing. He bears fruit by abiding in Christ. Look at John 15. John 15, I believe it is in verse 5. John 15 and verse 5. The Bible says, I am the vine, they are the branches. He that abideth in me. Now, how do you abide in him? By being yielded and obedient and submissive to the word of God, to the teaching of the word of God, living it, applying it to our lives. Now, he that abideth in me and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. And listen, bringing forth fruit brings blessings. I'll tell you what, for you to witness to somebody and have them respond and understand or lead them to the place where they trust the Lord as their Savior, there's not a greater blessing on this earth that God's people can have than that very thing. That's bringing forth fruit. For without me, you can do nothing. How do you do it? By abiding in him. And he'll abide in us and bring forth much fruit. For without him, we can do nothing. Nothing that's worthwhile, nothing that's lasting, nothing that's beneficial. Blessed is the man that bears fruit and glorifies God the Father. Look at Matthew 5 and verse number 16. Matthew chapter 5, verse 16 says, "Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven." He bears fruit by abiding in Christ. He bears fruit and glorifies God the Father. And he bears fruit that abounds to his account. Look at Philippians 4, verse number 13. Or rather, chapter 4, verse number 17. Philippians 4, 17. "Not because I desire a gift, but I desire fruit that may abound to your account." It's not a selfish work. It's a selfless. Blessed is a man that has a life that is known by the Lord. The Lord knows the ones who are righteous. Look at 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse number 19. 2 Timothy 2 and 19. "Nevertheless, the foundation of God standeth sure, having this seal, the Lord knoweth them that are his. And let everyone that nameth the name of Christ depart from iniquity." And then the Lord knows the need of the righteous. Look at Matthew chapter 6 and verse number 8. Matthew 6 and verse 8. "Be not ye therefore like unto them, for your Father knoweth what things ye have need of before you ask him." He knows, he will provide. The Lord knows the way of the right that the righteous shall take. Look at Job 23, verse 10. Job 23. "But he knoweth the way that I take. When he hath tried me, I shall come forth as gold." He knows the way. Is that shocking and surprising? It shouldn't be. To the blessed man, he should know and realize and understand that God's word reveals to us that he knows the end from the beginning. The beginning from the end. He knows all things. And he knows it before it takes place. How? He's God. He's God. We don't have to know how. We just got to know he's God. We got to understand he created us. We didn't create him. We got to realize that he's greater and more powerful than anything that we could imagine, dream up, or come up with. There's none greater. There's none more powerful. And all things are possible with God. Yep. That's who he is. And that's how he is. And did you know that he loves little old man? How can it be? How can it be that he loves man like he does? Well, here's how it is, according to the scripture. He created man in his image and his likeness. And his desire is that man comes to him and that he has a sweet fellowship with him, as he did with Adam and Eve in the garden before they sinned. He wants companionship. He wants relationship. He wants fellowship with man because he made man in his image and in his likeness. And man has the abilities of God, but man's abilities are so limited, it's pathetic in the sight of God. God's abilities are so great that he could create all things that exist. And he sustains them. And you know what? We're not going to destroy this earth. He is. Because he said he would. Because he has the power to do it. And did you know that he has the power to keep us from destroying this world? Mm-hmm. I'm not a bit afraid that man's going to destroy the world. He made a mess out of it. He already has. But I'm not a bit afraid that he's going to destroy it. Because God can stop him, keep him from it, because there's no power that man has access to that equals the power of God or the greatness. Let's stand. What shall we sing, brother?
Hymn 123.
As we sing this hymn, come to Jesus. If the Spirit of God's convicting your heart, you that don't know the Lord as your Savior, he come into this world, suffered, bled, died, was buried, and rose again. He come into this world just for you. He suffered, bled, died, was buried, that he might not lose you eternally. That you might come to him in repentance and faith and in prayer. Seek his forgiveness for being a sinner, because all men are. That he might save you. That you might have an eternity of happiness and bliss, as opposed to the death and destruction of that beneath. Come and trust Jesus. Put your faith and trust in him. He'll save you if you're willing to let him. All you have to do is ask. Ask, believing in your heart that he can. And Jesus can because he's God. He has the power and the ability to grant you eternal life, to lift that burden of sin, to take that fear from you, if you'll just let him. A simple prayer of faith is what saves a man and changes eternal destiny. Let's bow our heads and join with those in the altar.